double again. I want to see a triple doink.
It might happen.
Doink.
Double doink.
Double doink.
Double doink.
Triple doink. Quadruple doink.
Doink.
A double doink right there.
Doink. Doink. A double doink.
Double doinker.
Dicker the kicker. Triple doink sit in. Doink, 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 doink.
Double doinks and sackles, teaching you how to football. You can say it now.
Can you teach me how to football?
I'm going to try my best. My name is Fernando.
I'm Travis.
I am Jimmy G, the fuck the Steelers boy.
Ooh, that's a coming in
hot.
Coming hot this week.
All right, well, first episode for the regular season. We're going to have some picks, some fantasy advice. But I think Jimmy G wants to start off with some trivia for Travis and I.
Yeah.
Jimmy G's dry stat of the day.
It's sort of dry. Can you name the top 10 fantasy football seasons for an individual player?
Top 10?
PPR scale scoring.
Well, LaDainian Tomlinson's got to be...
Yeah, LaDainian... Okay, LaDainian Tomlinson's up there.
Yep, he's up there. He's number one.
Say, Michael Thomas might be up there. He had all those receptions that one year.
He is not on this list.
Get the fuck out of here.
CMC is definitely up there.
CMC is second on
this
list.
Adrian Peterson's up there.
Adrian Peterson is not on here for season. No, not for season.
Wow. He didn't have a lot of, like, big touchdown years. I think 18 was his highest. 18's a high number, but... You know, he didn't get, like, a lot of touchdowns.
I'll give you some hints.
Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Not on this list. Oh, season.
Are quarterbacks on this?
Quarterbacks are on this.
Oh, the Tom Brady.
No, it's not on this. Like, PPR scale. You don't get any points in PPR.
MJD.
No. Are you talking about single complete seasons?
No.
One full season. No. Seven are running backs, two are quarterbacks, one wide receiver.
Quarterback. Peyton Manning should be on there.
He is not one of the two quarterbacks listed here.
What the fuck?
Wow. This is a weird
list.
You
said seven running backs.
Two quarterbacks, one wide receiver.
Marvin Harrison?
Nope. Another clue. One's from the 70s. Two from the 90s. Seven after 2000s.
Emmitt Smith.
Emmitt Smith is on here, ninth.
Barry Sanders?
No.
70s.
Walter Payton?
No. Two have won Dancing with the Stars. You already named one of them.
Antonio Brown.
No.
Damn it. I don't know. I'm out.
Last clue. Nine haven't been accused of murder.
O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson's on this list. Jerry Rice is the wide receiver. We got Marshall Faulk third.
Oh,
Priest Holmes fourth. Lamar Jackson in 2019. Patrick Mahomes sixth in 2018. Jerry Rice in 1985, O.J. Simpson in 1975, Emmitt Smith, and then Steven Jackson.
Steven Jackson.
So may I say, I think Jimmy G, the stat boy, actually stumped us on this one.
Oh, yeah.
It was solid.
Well, it was most points. Quarterbacks usually get the most points. So I don't know. It had to have been like
of all time.
You also have to remember most leagues only get 4 points for passing touchdowns by that point. If you're going full point PPR,
but still you're throwing like three touchdowns.
LT had 481 total points.
I'm still shocked that Michael Thomas wasn't on that list.
Yeah, with that, I think 149 receptions.
He came right there to like breaking the record.
Lamar Jackson was like 415 points.
Also, Drew Brees not being on the list. On that season as well. I mean, that was an incredible season.
And O.J. Simpson's stat is projected out 14 games. It could be more, so that's why it's 383 points in 1975.
I mean, the juice was loose back then.
He was the only player in history to get 2,000 yards in a season with a 14-game schedule.
Well, and the juice is still out there looking for the real killer. I wish him the best of luck on that one.
Yeah, I hope he finds whoever killed his ex-wife and the other guy.
I'm looking at the man in the mirror.
You guys both play sports in your day, right?
Yeah.
What's your greatest sports achievement? Individual or team-based?
Because
I didn't, but I played recreationally.
Mine's between two. One of them's a Dumbflex. My freshman year, I was a pitcher, and I threw two no-hitters in the same season.
Nice.
Which was fun. The other one would be breaking the record for the most rushing yards by a quarterback, but also breaking the record for the most sacks on a quarterback in the entire conference.
So mine would be my first ever home run. I want to say I was either a freshman or it might have still been middle school. But, yeah, I got to hit cleanup that year because I hit, like, three altogether. Nice. Hmm. So I was the big home run hitter for one season.
For one season. Oh, my other one would be on a third one. I broke a dude's nose playing volleyball.
Nice. That's high on the list.
I mean, like, you have like a dominant spike by that point. It like he came up like right on like the 10-foot line. Like he came up for it, like ready, like for me to dink it, and I just like came right down and I hit him right in the nose, bust his nose wide open.
You son of a bitch.
I know.
Another one. I just remember this drive. We started at our own, like, 5 or 10 yard line.
Okay.
Now, in this game, I had already broken my pinky. You can see my pinky still messed up.
Ooh.
So the guy who was blocking in front of me was short and fast. He was hard to block because I couldn't get him. So I had to, like, switch it up. I pretty much took a step back every time we ran the ball.
Were you guard or a tackle?
I was a center.
Center.
You were a good center.
I was a good center.
I can see that, yeah.
So I took a step back and just gave him a lane to run through, let him run by me, and then I would just, like, jack him up. Because that was the only way I could catch him is if he ran to me. Because if I went forward to hit him, he would just run around me.
Sure.
So one of the times when I hit him, cracked my pinky in half. Or not cracked it in half. It was like sprained. And it was my snapping hand. Didn't miss a play. But we went on this 95-yard drive where we ran the ball every single play. Like it was a close game. I think it was tied at the time. And like end of the third, fourth quarter, we pretty much drained the clock the whole second half.
Ball control, yeah.
On that one drive. But as an offensive lineman, to just run the ball and just go out there and push people around and we're dominating, that one felt good.
But the dudes hit the meat grinder, man.
Yeah.
I mean, once again, football is back, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, we had a great weekend so far of college football. Has been fantastic.
Oh, you want to hear my claim to fame?
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't play organized sports. The only organized sports I played was Little League. And one time I ran halfway between third and home and just stood there while the pitcher just ignored me. I could hear my manager go, "Run!" And I just went, and just darted for home, slid under the tag. It's like, I know, I'm definitely out. And it's like, save! Like, oh!
Was it Baez? That reminds me, like, was it Javi Baez for the Cubs when, like, he, like, ran down to first base after he hit the ball, but it was, like, an infield shot, and he ran back to home plate on the first baseline?
Distracted the first base.
And
first
it completely threw off the entire, I think it was the Pirates.
Yeah, the guy on first just ran towards him, completely forgot he could just tag first and chase him.
Anthony Rizzo lost his mind in the dugout. It was fantastic. But anyway, once again, football's back. Happy football season to all of us here from Double Doinks and Sackles, teaching you football.
Oh, can you teach me how to football?
I mean,
I didn't know we were doing that again.
Well, we might try to.
I think both of you guys need to try that.
Coach Prime actually came out with a shocker to the rest of the world, not to that team at Boulder. Coach Prime came out with all 7 of his toes and brought off a victory.
Is that how many toes he has left?
I think he's got 7 toes left. I think he's lost at least 2 or 3.
How many do you have? I have all 10.
I have all 10 as well.
Good for you.
There it is. But anyway, it was a great season for that one. A great win for that team as well. We get LSU and Florida State tonight. Fernando, I know you don't really watch college football, but it's 2 top 10 teams. Who are you going to take? It's in Florida State. Who are you going to take?
Florida State and who?
LSU.
You know what? I'll take the home team. Let's go Florida State.
Jimmy G?
Oh, LSU.
And I'm just throwing, I don't know anything about it.
That's what I'm saying.
It's 100%.
I am also going to say Florida State on this one. It'd be fantastic. So the game's back. But on Thursday, we get football.
Football is back.
Football.
But before we get into football and picks, we have some stuff to discuss. Some recent transactions. Is that correct?
Yeah. So a couple of things. Like Dalvin Cook signed with the Jets. Josh Jacobs signed with the Raiders.
Yeah.
There were like very small contracts, but enough to get in the door and play this year. Dalvin Cook signed for 1 year, $7 million. Jacobs, 1 year, $12 million. You want to care about Zeke Elliott? 1 year, $1.5 million to back up.
1.5?
Yeah. Ramondre Stevenson. He has a $600,000 signing bonus incentive late in thing.
You know, I think that's actually going to be a really good signing for them, by the way, as well.
It will. And they're going to use him. They're a good running back by committee team. And
I mean, they don't let Mac Jones throw in the wind, you know.
He can't.
So it's going to be good. But it's interesting to think about because we were talking about earlier, like the highest paid contracts for running backs, CMC being the top one at like $17 million a year, Alvin Kamara right behind him. So once the precedent is set by that point, I mean, you have Josh Jacobs coming off the best season
of his career
and for running backs last year in general. And he signed for $10 million? Is that what it was?
1 year, $12 million for this year.
$12 million.
Just to give him the door, play the season, see what happens later.
And one player that's still out there, and honestly, I would love it if he signed with the Vikings, is Kareem Hunt.
Oh, is that who you're going to go with?
Well, yeah. I mean, considering Alexander Mattison's not a great running back.
The player I thought that was out there that still, I think, has a little bit more gas in the tank is Leonard Fournette. He's still out there as well. So both of those running backs are still out there to be signed. I think
who would you rather have out of the two?
Ooh, depends on the team, I think. Depends on what you're doing. So, like, as a Jaguars fan, right, knowing that we have Travis Etienne and Tanks Bigsby, you know, behind him, the rookie that's coming up, driving up the fantasy boards right now, I think I would rather have probably Leonard Fournette again, because I want that, like, short line goal.
The bruiser,
I think if you are, like, the Dallas Cowboys by that point, right, who would you rather have? I think I want Leonard Fournette for the Cowboys as well, because like you want that in
Kareem Hunt's more of a like a Tony Pollard, like catching out of the backfield.
So I think for the Vikings, that's a great signing, right? Kareem Hunt would be a great signing for the Vikings by that point.
100%, because Dalvin was really good out of the backfield.
Dalvin's gone.
I'm okay with that.
It's okay.
You know who's not gone? TJ Hockenson, highest paid tight end in the NFL.
Incredible.
And Justin Jefferson will be signed probably, they're talking about, before the season. So we'll see what happens this week.
And speaking of tight ends as well, you know, we just watched it right before the episode. We were talking about the Kelce brothers and their podcast and Travis Kelce's plea to Chris Jones to end his holdout. He needs him.
Just sign.
He needs him. Come back. But Jason Kelce coming right back and be like, you know what? Let them pay you.
Yeah.
Don't sign. Don't do it. I think it's fantastic, man. Like, watching that podcast, listen, for all three of our listeners out there, if you're not listening to that podcast as well, it's a fantastic podcast to listen to. What else we got on the docket today?
Oh, should we talk about Jonathan Taylor and how his current contract for this year, 5.1, is not enough for him to show up? He wants a little bit more than that. He probably deserves it because he is a bruiser. But yeah.
And they won't trade, like they'll trade him, but they want so much.
They don't want to pay him,
but they want to trade him like he's worth what he wants.
Well, we're not going to pay you, but let's give us Waddle and some draft capital and ice cream cake. How about that?
Man. I mean, Doug Peterson's big on the ice cream, but Jim Irsay is a crazy man. I mean, Dan Snyder, they finally got out of the league. Is Jim Irsay the next one?
Maybe. And also, is Jim Irsay, who's the drunkest owner? Is it Jim Irsay always looks like 100%. He is fucked up.
No, that's the
I mean, same with Robert Kraft. I think Robert Kraft is up there as one of the drunkest owners.
Oh, he's definitely up there. But I mean, I probably more so now than it was in the past, because there's a reason to drink in New England these days. But,
yeah.
Jim Irsay.
Well, he drinks to celebrate. I remember one of the Super Bowl, or I think it was AFC Championship games. He was down there like on the microphone talking in the stadium and like, I don't wanna.
That was the Jaguars game when they beat the Jaguars in 2017. That was 100% that game. That dude did not make it. Like, my son, Atlas, that's not even two yet, made more sense than Robert Kraft did on that podium, getting the Lamar Hunt trophy. The Lamar Hunt trophy. I just pulled that in. What's the NFC trophy?
George Halas.
The George Halas trophy. There it is. So they're, I mean, I think with the running back situation, it's clearly, we kind of discussed this earlier with the Chris Jones situation. They offered him as like a 3-year, $74-75 million deal.
Some good money for a defensive player.
Which is really good. And we briefly discussed how it's changed, I think, in the league from being a DB. Remember back in like the Revis days and, all that, where the DBs were the highest paid players. Now, with the way that the quarterback position has been protected once, you know, first off, they're way more protected. But now it's about getting that outside pass rush.
The outside pass, yeah. The edge rushers are some of the, I mean, you look at the first defensive players off the board in the draft, most of them are edges.
Yeah.
It's always an edge. Like, linebacker, secondary, like, you can almost just wait on those. But you need a good edge because you got to pressure the quarterback, can't let him stand back there and pick apart your defense.
I mean, we can't talk about edge rushers without action. You know, Jimmy G, the stat boy over here.
Oh yeah, what's up with your
is
boy?
Is Bosa gonna sign? Don? I've heard trade rumors.
They're gonna make a deal in the next. Is it 10 days from? No, that can't be 10 days. That's over. Like a football's a week from today, from the time of recording this.
It's less than a week from this point.
Yeah, they're gonna work together to get something. He's gonna be in Pittsburgh, Nick Bosa. But man, it is scaring me a little bit. Because they don't really have a pass rush.
And we had something else happen this last week since we've recorded last. Possibly the worst trade in draft history, with Trey Lance going to the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one.
For what the Niners gave up to get him.
Was it a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick?
Fourth-round pick. Apparently, all the chatter of maybe Baltimore wanted him, maybe the Lions want him, apparently it's all fake, because they're going, we have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, I thought he'd go to Minnesota just because he's from it. He grew up like a half hour where I grew up.
He also wanted in Minnesota, too. It was a little bit hard.
Yeah.
A lot of head on that one. My favorite meme that I've seen so far, it's like a TikTok, and Big Daddy or with the Adam Sandler movie that they had him. And it's like when like the CPS guy is like walking him away.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't want to go with him anymore. He's like, you have to. And it's like, and he's like, but I want my own ass. I want my own. And that's like Trey Lance is like walking away with like Jerry Jones.
The whole situation just makes me so sad because I had such high hopes for Trey Lance.
I mean, I'm sure. I mean,
well, you got a Trey Lance jersey.
I'll bring it out in a second. I forgot. We're right now.
Did Josh get a Trey Lance jersey?
No, he did not.
I will not buy like a jersey for one of the players on my team until like they've solidified themselves for a year. Like, you know, when, like,
this is how much I hated Jimmy G, by the way. I won't get that Trey Lance jersey right
so,
away.
So, hold on. So, you're saying when Chris Walters bought the Matt Corral jersey after they drafted him in the second or third round and got it, and he's got, I mean,
I thought it was a present. He didn't buy it. Someone gave it to him as a present.
Maybe. I mean, but the best thing Chris Walters has going for him is Bryce Young's number, right? So, all he has to do is put duct tape on the back and just say, yeah, Young on it, and he's got a Bryce Young jersey right there.
Just remove that nameplate, yeah.
But no, I mean, it's Trey Lance to the Cowboys is such a fascinating...
I'll bust it off with a pick segment.
Well, and I hear that the reason why they went with the Cowboys is because, like, the Niners don't want him to have a chance to start anytime soon.
Yeah, we talked about this.
Dak's going to be around for a while.
How about Jerry Jones not telling Dak he was ought to do that?
Doesn't matter. Well, and another thing, they have Cooper Rush, who has been a good... fill in when he needs to be.
He was the next Tom Brady last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fantastic.
Cooper Rush, and he makes sense going to Baltimore, too. Like, if Lamar gets injured, you want a quarterback with similar skill sets to fill in for you. And, like, Trey Lance is a mobile guy. Not as mobile as Lamar, but...
You know,
he's mobile as fuck.
Actually, speaking of it, you know, one of the greatest backups of all time, Ben DiNucci, is back in the NFL behind Russell Wilson. I'm actually surprised that the Broncos didn't go after Trey Lance, especially with Sean Payton out there and Russell Wilson ahead of him. I think that would have been a really good place for him to land.
I wonder, why of Dallas of all places? Like, what? Like, there's got to be something nobody knows about, like... Did they get other offers? Did they just go with Dallas?
No, man. Dallas is always good at scooping up bus by that point, because when Ryan Leaf left the Chargers, he went to the Dallas Cowboys by that point. Got arrested for trying to sell meth.
Drew Bledsoe.
T.O. went to the Cowboys at that point, too.
Yeah, but T.O. was actually good with the Cowboys. Drew Bledsoe went to the Cowboys.
He did. And he had a, what was it? Was it Drew Rosen?
Drew Henson. The baseball
Kitna.
John Kitna.
Are we just going to name old players?
But all the Cowboys.
When Bledsoe went to the Cowboys, I believe Drew Henson, it was like a 6th-round like MLB pick or something like that. And like I remember like they hyped him up so much when they signed him. He's like, man, he was supposed to be so good at football. Drew Henson. Michigan? Is that where he was from?
Yeah.
Michigan.
I think he was starting ahead of Tom Brady.
He was ahead of Tom Brady, right?
Yes.
So everyone's like, this dude started above Tom Brady. He's got to be the guy, right?
Nobody knew Tom Brady was Tom Brady until at that moment.
No, they absolutely did know he was Tom Brady. Tom Brady had been in the league for a couple seasons by that point, I believe, when Drew Henson came out. Because Drew Henson tried out his baseball.
Yeah.
And I think he was drafted by the Yankees?
That sounds right.
I think everyone has the... Like, I think Russell Wilson was with the Yankees.
Rangers. Rangers. The Texas Rangers. But I believe Drew Henson was with the Yankees for like 2 or 3 years before he signed back with Dallas. And everyone's like, here he comes. Drew Henson.
Yankees 2003.
There it was. So 2003, Tom Brady is a household name almost by that point. Like, he's not the GOAT, but he's won one by 2003, right?
Yes. Because 2001 was the first one. They didn't win it in 2002, and then 2003 and 2004, they went back to back.
So that's why everyone like was jerking themselves off for Drew Henson, because like this is the dude that started above Tom Brady. So obviously he's better than Tom Brady by that point, and he was a
obviously
should have stuck with Bledsoe. Man, Drew Bledsoe. That dude takes one hard hit on the sideline. Tom Brady never gave his job back. You know what I mean?
I remember and that then play. Who took over Drew Bledsoe's job in Dallas after he was sucking it up?
Was it not Henson for the
No. Point? One of our favorite broadcasters.
Tony Romo.
Romo.
One of the best broadcasters. Well, he used best. To be. Really.
Yeah.
To be. Not so much anymore.
I'm just glad Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are off of Fox, so we don't, like, Monday Night Football, like, I don't know, I always watch it at a bar, so I don't have to hear their
voices. Fair enough.
You're not going to watch Bills and Jets with their voices.
Oh, that's a shame.
Soundless.
So what else is on the docket there,
Jimmy? I think that's pretty much what I had planned. What else we want to talk about? I want to talk about some prop bets, some fans. Actually, what would you tell people out there that might listen to us, if they might have drafted Jonathan Taylor too early or thought that his social contract situation, Teddy, would be like really, really like resolved by this point? What kind of advice do we give them?
All three of our listeners?
Yeah.
I hope you picked up Zach Moss.
I would just, I mean, it depends. Like, we have a league where we have a short bench, so it's hard to, like, save bench space for someone like that. I almost would want to hold on to him as long as you could. It's early in the season, so hopefully you don't have any injuries yet, and you can just use a bench spot for him and just kind of play it out. Because, you know, there might be, like, the thing that's going to happen in the season is someone's going to get injured, they're going to be desperate for a running back, and they're going to trade for said running back. Even though you got Kareem Hunt and Leonard Fournette out there, you still want, you need someone to replace your bell cow if your bell cow gets hurt.
Well, and so, you know, there's multiple fantasy apps that you can go out there and kind of like do trade analyzers on right now. Actually a couple of the apps I've seen so far has kind of analyzed this. I've kind of just been floating the idea because I have this player on my team. Khalil Herbert right now is actually considered a better trade value than Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Well, yeah, he's on a team and he's like, got some good projections.
But that's what I'm saying. Before the season started, even actually when this whole thing was going on, like I think that it's trending that Jonathan Taylor won't play this year. I just don't see the Colts. I think Jim Irsay is a stubborn bastard. Drunken, stubborn bastard.
Yeah, don't forget drunk.
But I think that with all of that being a part of it, I just don't see Jonathan Taylor going anywhere this year. Especially because they don't have to.
Right, and they're asking for so much.
So much, and they're going to be terrible this year.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
I mean, terrible
Anthony this Richardson year. Anthony Richardson was very fun to watch, but yeah, other than that.
I mean, he's a big dude. He's a less talented Cam Newton. I'm going to say it right now.
Fair enough.
I just don't think he's got the arm. I don't think he's got the accuracy yet, and hopefully.
Well, Cam Newton really didn't have either of those either.
He was better than Anthony Richardson is, though.
Yeah.
He was a little bit more polished by that point.
For sure.
Anyway.
All right, should we take our break and then we'll come back and make some picks?
Taking a break sounds good. We'll talk football coming up next.
Let's take a break and listen to some commercials. If you're listening to this podcast, you're obviously here for Double Doinks and Sackles. But what's this thing called Social Dragonfly on here?
So, you got notes for me? You got questions?
I have questions. Or is it just these are questions I thought of asking my niece.
Okay. Just a read real quick.
With this podcast, I learn things about myself or talk about other subjects like Asian hate or lighter subjects like baking or travelogues of my trip around the world. But sometimes I talk to people or friends that I want to learn more about.
I'm known as Andrew Kickball still on
your
phone.
Yes. So firstly, let me see it right now. Let's look. Let's see it in this text thread. Yes, Andrew Kickball.
Oh my God. I have not ever played kickball.
No, but you played kickball.
Yeah,
and
I know.
That's how with the identifier
yeah,
for
I know.
You.
Yeah, I've just been really lucky. So I'm extremely optimistic about everything. I try to stay positive all the time, and I feel like, you know, usually that works out pretty well. There's been plenty of stuff I've tried that didn't work out or that I failed at or anything like that, but I just try to stay positive. I mean, we get one life, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, make the most of it.
Actually, on the way to Temecula, so let's go to Temecula.
Okay, we'll go to that restaurant. By the time we get there, we can hit up a few thrift shops and then go for, like, a late lunch.
You and your thrifting.
I love thrifting.
and learn about other things along the way in this thing called life.
But essentially the doctors are like, yeah, just give them whatever. Outside of like honey and cow's milk, which is still like a no-no to like after 1 year. He's done.
We'll leave that in.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I'm not listening. Don't worry.
Yeah. 100% listening.
Right.
Do they have any answers for us?
Spoiler alert. No answers.
We have
no answers on parenting.
A high percentage of nurses that are type A, that's why we're going into this field. We are very, you know, demanding of ourselves and like things done a certain way, but you have to kind of be able to still roll with the punches. And obviously, it's not fun all the time. And you have to be willing to adapt and not take things too seriously sometimes.
This is Social Dragonfly. I hope you come back here for more of these conversations. Get them whenever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
We're back.
Let's look at those picks. Week one. I cannot fucking wait.
I got my Trey Lance, the stat boy jersey.
Trey Lance, Jimmy G, the stat boy, might become stat boy Trey.
Stat boy Trey.
From now on, but we'll see if it sticks or not.
At least for season two.
Right, yeah. And then next year, who's your starting quarterback going to be next year? No, Brock Purdy will die, and then it'll be...
Wow. Wow.
Don't you put that in the universe. That's terrible.
It could be Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold will be the next one.
I've been saying this. Do you know who might be the quarterback of the Vikings next year? Because he was a really good friend with Justin Jefferson.
Not Trey Lance. Kyler Murray.
He was dapping up Justin Jefferson in some game, I guess, last year or this year, pregame, and just like... They're good buddies.
It was preseason. He was dabbing him up.
I do not want. Oh yeah, because he's. I think he's taking his last snap as a Cardinal. Just throwing that out there.
We'll see. I mean, I think
because if the Cardinals tank and get Caleb Williams with the first overall pick, Kyler Murray,
Caleb Williams could just stay in school. Second, do you know the Cardinals have a second pick, second overall pick also?
Yeah, they're one. They're
getting Marvin Harrison Jr. Also, they want to get everything this year.
Why do they have the second pick
for the Houston trade?
The Houston trade.
If Houston finishes in second to the worst.
We'll say probably.
Yeah, but they're going to have one, two in the draft.
All right, we're getting sidetracked. Yeah, let's make some picks. First game of the 2023 regular season.
I can't wait.
We have the Detroit Lions traveling to Kansas City to take on the Super Bowl champs, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, maybe Chris Jones. We'll see what happens.
Maybe Jackson Mahomes.
And a 6.5-point under favorite for Kansas City, which seems like a decent number for, you know, coming off Super Bowl champs.
Especially at home.
So Detroit, there's a lot of buzz about Detroit. I mean, Detroit always seems to Detroit themselves in the regular season.
Sure.
And didn't they have a couple players suspended early on for gambling?
They got about like 6 players, I think, suspended.
Yeah, so again, they're already Detroiting themselves. Either way, I think this is going to be a high, high scoring game. Chiefs will win, but I do have the Lions covering that 6.5. I think they can. It reminds me of the game last year, week one, Lions. I think it was Lions Eagles. I think the final score was 38-35. And it was just kind of a glimpse into what the Lions are going to be that year. Shitty defense, pretty good offense. And so I'm going to go with that. Detroit will cover 6.5, but they will lose to the defending Super Bowl champs.
If I remember correctly, I think the Detroit Lions also had T.J. Hockenson in that game.
They did, but, got up more, and they will be out of certain weapons. They got Amon St. Brown still.
Amon Ra.
St. Brown.
The thing with the Lions, and you kind of, like, touched on it, you know, that they're going to Detroit themselves, everything like that. The AFC... is so much better right now than the NFC is.
100%.
So top-heavy in the AFC. And even then, like, your mid-teams in the AFC, I think, are still better than half the teams in the NFC by this point.
It's all quarterbacks. The best quarterbacks are in the AFC.
My problem is I believe that the Lions will have a good season this year, but not against the Chiefs in week one in Arrowhead. I see the Chiefs winning this game. I see the Chiefs covering in this game. I think it will be a high-scoring affair, just like you said. But I don't see the Lions being able to keep up with the Chiefs.
Oh, no.
At all.
And they can, like, you know.
Give me the Lions. Give me the Lions to lose this game and not even cover.
Well, there's no Chris Jones on KC, so that's why I feel like
Chris Jones, please come back.
It's gonna be really close.
Don't do it. Get your
money.
This
game will be a huge, hold on, huge score.
Chris Jones, wait till week 3 to come back after you play the Jaguars week 2.
Yeah, I picked the Chiefs to win this game, but I feel like the Lions will keep it close because there's no Chris Jones, obviously.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough.
All right, what do we got for round 2? Sunday football. The first game we got on the slate. The Carolina Panthers are traveling to Hotlanta, taking on the Falcons. Falcons, 3.5-point favorites. Falcons are going to be decent this year, especially in a shitty division. I like the Falcons to, you know, they could get to the 10-win mark. The Panthers are, like, rookie quarterback. We got to see how he pans out. But division game, Panthers got a decent defense. I'm going to say Atlanta wins this game. However, the Panthers will cover. I can see like a game-winning field goal, or the Panthers miss a field goal to tie it at the end, something
boy,
like that.
Your boy Koo out there kicking a game-winning field goal. Then,
yeah.
So what I see is this. I think I don't know if I'd say the Falcons will be decent this year. I think they're going to be frisky this year. They're going to be one of those teams that we watch this year that are going to just be kind of in it sometimes, and it's going to go 50. It'll be a coin flip by the end of the game. I mean, at home right now, starting the season off, the Panthers have zero protection for Bryce Young. Zero protection.
He's a little
Bryce
scared
Young.
Back there.
I think I would say temper your expectations for Bijan this week 1, because I think the Panthers do have a good defense. So temper your expectations. Watch all the talking heads like go off, and Bijan only gets like 60 yards and averages like, you know, 2.8 yards a carry or something like that. But
he'll have 3 touchdowns and 180 yards.
Wow, that's a bold prediction. It's like someone has him on his fantasy team. But no, give me the Panthers to lose this game. I'm going to take the Falcons, and the Falcons will cover the 3.5.
Yeah, I agree with Fernando. Like, I think the Falcons are going to be frisky. They're going to be interesting, and this is a great matchup for them to win. But I think we'll see something. It'll be close.
I have it close. Falcons win, Panthers cover.
And who does Chris have on the line?
Chris has a Panthers shockingly to outright win. So.
Shocking.
Get the fuck out.
We'll share his picks as they seem hilarious.
All right. Up next, week 1, Battle of Ohio. The Bengals traveling to Cleveland, whoever their quarterback is. Cincinnati, 2.5-point favorites. Now, we're discussing this, you know, off air, about how the Browns always play the Bengals tough. It's always a close game, always like a nail biter. With that being said, I am still going to take the Bengals to win and cover that 2.5. We probably will see a really good, hard-fought game, but give me the Bengals with a win.
So this one was a little hard for me. I don't know what the status of Joe Burrow is. I know he's practicing right now, so I'm assuming that he's ready for week 1, but I haven't seen a lot of movement on that one. In the back of my head, I just hear our friend Timmy, the longtime Bengals fan, talking about how the Browns always play the Bengals so tough, especially at home on this one. It doesn't matter. Even last year, the Bengals still struggled against the Browns, and the Bengals were one of the best teams in football last year. I'm going to take the Browns to win this one and to cover the 2.5.
Are you a Deshaun Watson lover all of a sudden?
I don't speak that person's name.
We don't want to speak his name.
Yeah, I refuse to believe.
I heard he promised the city of Cleveland at the end of the year would be a happy ending.
Well done, actually. Well done. I wanted to hate on that one. I wanted to womp womp.
I'm going to insert a rim
shot. I mean, I stole that. I heard someone else say that. So, I mean, I'm going to admit I stole
that's
it.
That's fantastic.
I'm going to insert a rim shot right after you say it in the club. I picked the Bengals to win and cover, though Timmy's voice saying, every time he said the Browns play the Bengals tough, and I think he's full of shit, and I see it every year, every game, home or away, they're always going to play it tough. But 2.5 is really a small margin. I pick the Bengals to cover at least by a field goal.
That's fair enough. Yeah. And Chris?
Chris picked the Bengals to win and cover.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, next up we got Travis's Jacksonville Jaguars traveling to Indianapolis to take on division rival Colts. Jacksonville, 5-point favorites going into this game. So, thinking about it, again, division rivals, they play each other tough. 5-point spread. I think it's for the home team. I like the Jaguars to win this game, but I will take the Colts to cover. I think it'll be close. I could honestly see the Colts winning this game. Anthony Richardson just coming out and running all over the place. You know, if you're not prepared for, you know, certain players, like someone like Anthony Richardson, like he could just have himself one of those, like, great week ones, and then, you know, they tank the rest of the year.
Sure.
But I'm going to go ahead and say Colts cover, but I will take the Jags to dub.
Yeah, this Jaguars team is on a mission this year. For some reason, I've heard that a lot. And I think they're going to, even though it's a division game, I feel that the Colts will not have enough to keep up with this team. 5 points, that's plenty for the Jags to cover and win.
What about Chris?
Chris also picked the Jags.
And the Jaguar fan himself.
I don't know how he's going to pick this one.
Hmm. So, I mean, you bring up a really good point with the division rivals. The Colts actually beat us last year as well. I think in Indy was a shocking defeat. But I think with the Jaguars this season, they're on a mission, I guess. But they're a solid team. The offense is clicking on all cylinders. The defense has some question marks. Pass protection's held up pretty well so far in the preseason, but, you know, once again, it's preseason. The Jaguars have never actually run the division in the AFC South this year. Ever. In their entire existence of 26 years now, I believe.
Wait, run the division?
They've never run the division. Never gone 6-0. Never gone 6-0 in the division. I do believe that that streak ends this season, so give me the Jaguars and give me them to cover as well.
Fair enough. Well, we went from your team. The next one up is my team.
Oh.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are traveling to Minneapolis, taking on the Vikings. Vikings are 6-point favorites. Now, they didn't do a lot to improve the defense, but I've been saying this all offseason. Hiring Brian Flores as the defensive coordinator, I think, is going to make a huge difference. We have this undrafted rookie who's going to be starting at linebacker. I like those stories. Like, you know, you're not even drafted and you're going to come into an NFL team and start. Like, he's doing something in training camp. Like, the defense will play better. That is definitely the weakest part of this team. Offense is great. Offensive line is decent. Our tackles are really good. Interior's a little questionable. Offensive line, but like the playmakers we got, I'm excited to see what Jordan Addison can do. We got the best wide receiver in the league at, I believe his name is Justin Jefferson.
Never heard of him.
And the highest paid tight end in the league with TJ Hockenson. So you got a lot of people to cover for Tampa's defense. For offensive too. Line can give Kirk time. I think the Vikings, like, they should blow out the Buccaneers. So give me the Vikings to win, cover, we'll say like 38-3.
Wow.
All right. So I'm going a little overboard. It's week one. I'm still getting the rust off.
I thought you were going to say like 33-0, like the replay of the Colts-Vikings game last year. Yeah, the Vikings are going to handle the Bucks. Bucks have Baker Mayfield. They have Mike Evans on his last year, apparently.
When I said this, Baker will throw at least 2 interceptions in this game.
Dollar bet.
Right. I'll take it on both of you. Dollar bet.
Okay. Yeah, Vikings will win this game handily. I don't see them putting up much of a fight. Chris thinks the same thing, too.
I don't know, man. I'm not a Baker hater. I think that the Bucks will actually be a little more decent this year than people give them credit for. But that being said, playing in Minnesota, week one, Minnesota's offense is just too good. I'm going to have to take Minnesota to cover and, you know, just win this game. All right. I'm not going 38-3. I might go like a 35-17, maybe.
Fair enough. I like that score too.
35-20, maybe.
I'll allow it.
Some of those 35 points will be pick sixes, right?
maybe one. Just one pick six.
Just one.
Just one.
What do we got next? We got the Tennessee Titans traveling to Narlands, taking on the Saints, the Derek Carr led Saints.
It's weird.
The Saints are 3-point favorites in this game. No Alvin Kamara, because, you know, he likes to almost kill people. With this one,
allegedly.
Okay, yeah. Allegedly. OJ, him and OJ are bros on the side. I'm going to go with the Saints. I think the Saints are going to win that division. The division is weak, and it's at home. I think Derek Carr's going to have a great year. I think Michael Thomas will have a little resurgence this year if he can stay healthy and stay on the field. And, you know, they got Jamal Williams back there, who broke Barry Sanders' Lions record for TDs in a season last year. They got Chris Olave. They got some good playmakers. Give me the Saints to win this and cover handily.
I don't know how many touchdowns will Jamal Williams score this year compared to 17.
He had 22 last year.
22?
22 or 20. I think that's what it was.
I think it was 17 rushing. He might have cost like 5.
17 rushing, guys.
That was it?
Yeah.
That's all Barry Sanders had in a season?
Yep.
Get the fuck out of here.
But I don't know how he's going to like really... He's going to definitely be helpful when Kamara's out these few... Is it 3 weeks? You got 3 weeks suspension.
3 weeks. Beat a man to inch his life, 3 weeks.
And make someone else make a
fanduel.
But if you're gambling.
Jameson Williams gambling 6 weeks.
Six.
Oh, you want to talk about gambling and being suspended? We'll talk about Calvin Ridley being suspended.
Oh, we're past the Jaguar segment, sorry. I have the Saints to win and cover this game. This is, I feel like the Saints are going to be, they're also going to be feisty, and the Titans are just Derrick Henry. Please score some touchdowns.
I mean, I think a lot of people are sleeping on the Titans this year. I think they're going to be a better team than what they were last season, as long as they stay healthy. Tannehill's on his last legs. Derrick Henry probably has another season or two in him. But the Saints at home, Saints are going to be good this year, man. Derek Carr is going to do like a Drew Brees for New Orleans, right? When Drew Brees left like San Diego.
Why
like,
do they always get the reclaim projects and they end up doing
so right now,
well.
Man. Yeah. Drew Brees like actually should have signed with the Chargers. With the Dolphins that year.
That's right.
But he failed his physical, and so he went to the Saints instead, and you know the history makes itself from there. I think Derek Carr is going to have a great season. I could see the Saints finishing as one of the top three teams in the NFC this year. Their schedule's relatively easy. They got a lot of talent on that team. Their defense was good enough last year.
Their defense have been the strong point of their team the last few years.
And now you got weapons. You know, I think the Saints are going to be scary good this year at home. Mm-hmm. So give me them to cover.
And Chris picked the same way. The next game.
What is the next game? Oh, yeah.
The next homer game.
Jimmy G, a.k.a. Stat Boy Trey Lance.
Nope.
His 49ers.
Jimmy G, fuck the Steelers, boy.
They are traveling to Pittsburgh, taking on the Steelers. San Fran, 2.5-point favorites in this game. I've been hearing some good things from about Kenny Pickett. Looking good, looking decent, small hands and all. He's, yeah, we're all looking at our hands now. He's, you know, I think he's going to have a better second year than first year. I think everything offensively is going to be better on that team. And their defense, I mean, Mike Tomlin, one of the best coaches, I don't want to say of all time, but definitely like current head coaches, one of the best ones in the league.
100%, yeah.
Still hasn't had a losing season in
20 years.
Is that... You're just throwing numbers out there?
I'm going to tell you it's like 20 years.
It's like 18.
You keep talking.
All right.
Jimmy G will stick.
So. I think it was 2006. Yeah, we got Jimmy G the Stat Boy to look this up.
I'm looking now.
I want to say 2006. So this is like his 17th season. Anyway, I think Pittsburgh, and again, quarterback situation. I know Purdy had a good run last year. Niners are a loaded team all across the board except quarterback. I think Pittsburgh can come out. Their defense will slow down that offense. Pittsburgh with the upset win, and it's at home. So I like Pittsburgh winning this game.
Since 2003, when the Steelers were 6-10.
Yeah, but that wasn't. I said Mike Tomlin. How long has he been coach?
I don't know.
Exactly, it's 2006.
But they've been. It was over the year, 500 record for a long time.
It was the year after they won the Super Bowl in 2005 because Collar. So it's 2006.
Yeah, well, they had 8-8 in the season 2006.
Are you still looking it up?
Yeah.
2006.
Boom. 8-8 season.
17 years.
I obviously going to pick the Niners, but it gives me a little pause that I'm waiting for Nick Bosa to come back. He'll probably be there. They don't have a kicker. Their kicking situation is kind of, the 99th overall pick from Michigan, Moody, strained his quadriceps or something that happened with this.
That's a shame.
And then they decided to just not to ghost Robbie Gould and just hire like Zane Gonzalez and something. He's also awesome on the injured list.
Blair Walsh is still out there. You guys can pick him up.
I always pick up Blair Walsh.
Blair Walsh.
Good old Blair Walsh. He's still looking for work.
But I think the Niners have enough weapons to win this game, at least cover that 2.5 and win. But it is not going to be easy on the road at the whatever the stadium's called now. Not even Three River Stadium.
It's not even
Heinz Field now.
It's not Heinz Field anymore?
It's called something else now. But yeah, it gives me a little pause, but I think this is a good game to see where everyone is. I like the Niners to win this game.
At Chris Schur Stadium.
Yeah, do you know? Yeah.
That's a stupid name.
Ketchup bottle. It was the ketchup bottle before.
Give me the Steelers in this one. I'm with Fernando. I think that the offense is going to be much better. The defense is going to be fantastic. I don't think Nick Bosa plays in this game. Brock Purdy be fine. I know he's been practicing. And he played in the preseason, right?
He played the first two series.
Yeah, so he should be good to go. It'll be a close game. I think it's going to be a really good game. But not having a kicker is going to make it hard to win by more than 2.5 points.
That is
so. Give me the Steelers with Chris Boswell, the third highest paid kicker in the NFL. Talked about that earlier on today. Give me the Steelers on this one.
What do we got next? Up next, possibly the number one overall pick in the NFL draft next year, the Arizona Cardinals traveling.
Okay, twist it.
To the nation's capital to take on the Washington Commies. They're not slated as a great team, but they are 7-point favorites in this game. This is how terrible Arizona is going to be. Who is the starting quarterback for Arizona in this game? Can anybody answer that question
for me? It's not Colt McCoy.
Josh Dobbs?
Is it Josh Dobbs?
I think it might be Josh Dobbs.
I think it's Josh Dobbs.
Or it could be like some other no-name player that we have.
Outside of that, it's going to be their preseason leader was Clayton Tune.
Clayton Tune. Oh, yeah. Clayton Tune. I heard of that guy. I have never heard of that guy before.
Have you? I was like, did you do?
He was actually drafted just this year. Round 5, pick 139.
All right. Well, Clayton Tune.
His preseason completion percentage was 58.3%.
Solid.
He's money. he threw for 218 yards in the preseason. Clayton, I wish you the best of luck holding on to Caleb Williams' seed by that point.
Yes, Tommy best of luck. So I got the Commies at 7 points. I never thought I would pick the Commies to cover anything, but I will take them to cover 7 points. I think the Commies will win this game easily. I can't see the Cardinals doing anything on offense. Yeah,
defense.
James Turner, right? Connor.
James Connor.
He'll run it 50 out of 60 plays or something?
And average like 2 yards a carry. So he might get 100 yards if he gets 50 carries.
He is going to be dangerously... You got to be careful of his health.
Yeah, Commies. And then Hollywood Brown, like, he's not going to do shit because he doesn't have anyone to throw him the ball.
Clayton Tune.
Yeah.
I'm looking for Eric Bieniemy's debut with this offense and seeing how he can like manage to make this team look sort of like the Chiefs, but not really. But
it's weapons. Not.
But it's, like, there's just
aside from having the same colored uniforms, that's about it.
Yeah, there's a lot to be hopeful. And I think the Washington football franchise sold out their first game in the new regime of the new ownership, not Dan Snyder. So I think they have a lot to play for, and this is going to be a very good game for them. I have them covering. So did Chris on this game.
So my big question out of all of it, I mean, there's some questionable people on there. Logan Thomas, always on the injury list, I feel like.
Yeah.
Scary Terry is questionable this week as well. Chase Young, is he ever going to see the field again?
I don't know.
Apparently he's got a neck contusion or something like that right now. He's still not cleared for contact, so Chase Young won't see the field. I don't care if Chase Young sees the field or not. I mean, it would obviously make that defense a lot better, but the Cardinals are terrible. The Cardinals are so bad. Give me the Commies to cover 7 points.
Kaboom.
Kaboom.
What do we got next? We're moving on.
One more early game.
Last early game. Texans traveling to Baltimore, taking on the Ravens. 10-point favorites for the Ravens. That is the highest point differential in the spreads. Lamar, healthy, coming off. He might have his best receiving core he's ever had since he's been in Baltimore. I looked at that. Don't ask me any of the names of their receivers outside of Mark Andrews.
Are you gonna
get Bateman, right?
ODB.
Rashard Bateman.
Oh yeah, ODB's there.
ODB,
Which Zay is this one? Do you remember? Remember from last time?
Is it Zay Jones?
Zay Flowers.
Still Zay Jones.
Zay Jones, Jaguars. Zay Flowers, rookie out of Maryland.
I'm not going to remember this.
No.
We'll ask again next week.
But I am going to take the Ravens to completely shellack the Texans. I think the Texans are going to be better than last year. They got their rookie quarterback. They got what's the projected defensive player, rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year, Will something?
Yeah.
He's supposed to be a freak edge rusher. So if their defense can slow
down. Anderson?
That sounds right. Yeah, Will Anderson. So if their defense can slow down Lamar a little bit, they can maybe only lose by 14 points. So I will definitely take the Ravens to cover that 10.
Yeah, on the Texans, Will Anderson. I have the Ravens to win this game outright, too. The Texans are this is their first year with rookie coach DeMeco Ryans. Got C.J. Stroud. You got a lot of players trying to figure out their role in this thing. But I think the Ravens, he has so many weapons, Lamar. He has so many different abilities and stuff to win. Ravens will win this game and cover. Chris Walters picking against us finally. He has the Ravens to win this game, but the Texans to cover the 10 points.
He must have been drunk when he made that pick.
I'll have what he's having. So the Ravens, as we all know, had like a 24-25 game preseason win streak, right? That finally broke this year.
I watched
that. And that
game.
Means what?
Obviously, I watched
that game.
A lot.
It was fun to watch
that
game.
They lost two games in the preseason this year. Not only did they lose one, they lost back to back. So
they're not winning a game in the regular season.
Not a single game. You have to give me the Texans to definitely lose this game by more than 10 points. They are so bad, man. I mean, it is going to be something awful. Give me the Texans to lose by more than 10. And we'll call that one a day.
Good day. What next? Afternoon games. We got five games at 1:25 Pacific time. The first one, hey, I hate both these teams, but they got to play each other. Hopefully they just injure each other up the yin-yang. We got the Packers at the Bears. Chicago, one-point favorite in this game.
Oh, it feels like it's a close game.
This all kind of comes down to how these quarterbacks are going to play. We know Justin Fields can run, but can he pass? Jordan Love, we've seen glimpses of a decent quarterback. We've seen glimpses of a not-so-good quarterback. I'm going to go with the Packers on this one. I don't like it. Blow, pack, blow. But I think they're going to continue their, even though Aaron Rodgers isn't there, their ownership of the Bears. And the Packers are going to start off. I mean, I hope this game just ends in a tie. I'm talking about this. Any game is like, just I want it to be a tie. If it's like a 6-6 game, four field goals, that would be beautiful. But, give me the fucking Packers.
You seem so happy about that pick. I got the Bears in this game. Just because I feel they have more weapons, and they had that year under Justin Fields is able to learn something that 1 year. Now Jordan Love is going to get the reins of the team. It's going to take a little time. I do like how well they pass protect for him. And he looks like he might actually learn how to do something. Give me the Bears. So did Chris have Bears winning and covering?
I don't know why. I think Jordan Love's actually going to be fairly decent. I know that you're hoping he's not going to be good. He's not going to be Aaron Rodgers. He's not going to be Brett Favre, but I think Jordan Love is going to be pretty good this year. Both their wide receivers, Dobbs and Watson, are coming to their second year. You always see that big jump in your second year as a wide receiver. Aaron Jones is still back there handling it, and if Aaron Jones can't, A.J. Dillon is ready to go. The defense was good last year. I don't get the hype behind the Bears, man. I just don't. I don't get it. Everyone's hoping that Justin Fields is going to be the next Jalen Hurts. He's not. I'm going to take the Packers to take this and win this game.
Gross.
You said the same thing.
I know. It's still gross.
Fair enough.
It was gross when I said it. It's gross when you say it. We're moving on. We got a division rival out of the West. We got the Raiders.
The Raiders.
Traveling to Denver, the Mile High City, taking on the Broncos. 3.5-point favorites for Denver. We discussed this in our previous episode. I think Denver is going to have a much better year under Sean Payton. I think Russell will be better That's the best I can say. He'll be better.
So it must be better from last year.
I mean, it's not going to take much, but he can do it.
Broncos Nation, let's try.
Broncos winning and covering in this one. Because the Raiders with Jimmy G, I just don't see it happening.
I don't see Jimmy G being able to hit his receivers. They think he can. He's not going to be great. He'll hit Hunter Renfro nice. Hit the short passes nice. But a long pass to Davante Adams, I don't know if that's going to be impossible. Given the Broncos, I think they're going to have like a bounce back year. Might as well put Russell Wilson as comeback player of the year, maybe. Who knows?
But that's already going to DeMar Hamlin.
Oh, yeah. He, as soon as he steps on the field, that is
he's
going to
take one snap.
One snap.
And he solidified that award.
There it is.
But yeah, Broncos win and cover 3.5. Chris has picked the Raiders to win outright this game.
Again, what is Chris on?
Yeah. Once again, I'll have what he's having. Give me the Broncos on this one, but they will not cover. I believe the Raiders will cover that.
Next game, the Eagles traveling to Foxborough, taking on the Patriots. Eagles only 4-point favorites in this game. This kind of surprises me. I got the Eagles winning this easily and easily covering.
Yeah,
I know the Super Bowl hangover is a thing, but I think the Eagles are still, you know, the top two team in the NFC.
They're lucky to be playing the Patriots in this game, but the Patriots will give it a go. Obviously, just Bill Belichick coaching the team, but Eagles have too many weapons to like not cover that four. Give me the Eagles. So did Chris. He stopped drinking what he was drinking for the other picks. Pick the Eagles.
Yeah, give me the Eagles all day. Eagles will also cover this game. I have no idea why it's only 4 points.
Yeah, doesn't make sense. Up next, this is kind of a good one. I like this game. We got Dolphins at Chargers. 3-point favorites for the Chargers. I just week one, Chargers seem to start off slow. Am I wrong? Is that kind of their thing? They always start off slow. I like the Dolphins to come in and put up some points against this team. And, yeah, a little upset here. So give me the Dolphins on the road to beat the Chargers in SoFi.
The Dolphins have so many weapons as long as Tua doesn't get hurt, which is what we're all going to watch this year, whether or not he's going to have the whole fencing ability with his hands. Give me the Dolphins to win this game. But this is the second best game probably behind the Chiefs and Lions probably, right, with terms of points? There's going to be points.
Maybe.
There's points in this game. Give me the Dolphins. Chris went back on his stuff. He has the Chargers to win this game.
I mean, they are the favorites, so yeah. He's not as crazy.
3-point favorites in a stadium that'll probably be filled with mostly Dolphins fans by that point, because there's no such thing as a real Charger fan outside of Preston and Teddy by this point. Now, the Dolphins are going to be really good this year as long as they stay healthy. And, I mean, I could see Tua making it through at least one game, maybe seven games. Is that too much?
Too much.
But no, give me the Dolphins to win this game, actually. I think the Chargers are going to have a slow start. I think Kellen Moore will be a great offensive coordinator down there, but Dolphins are going to be good this year, man.
Rams at Seahawks. Next game, more divisional games. The Rams are such a question mark because they're getting Stafford back, but Cooper Kupp's probably not going to play. They really don't have anything else out there. Seattle's pretty loaded. Like, they got a decent defense, a very young team, too. Seattle could be a scary team this year. 5-point favorites for Seattle. I think they win this game and they cover those 5 points.
Yeah, no Cooper Kupp. That is dangerous for this team to get walloped in this game. I feel like the Seahawks are blow them out. Chris went with the Seahawks as well.
I'm also going to Seahawks. I don't think there's a lot to say about it. No Cooper Kupp. The Rams haven't admitted that they're in rebuilding, but I would say look out for Aaron Donaldson being traded this year.
I can see that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's hinted at retiring after he won the Super Bowl. It's like that he wanted to get his Super Bowl. He got it. So he might not even be around. Like, I could see this being his last year.
That's what I'm saying.
What do we got? We're moving on to Sunday Night Football. This is a doozy. We got
here's a game.
Oh, I've not missed his voice.
Cowboys at Giants. Cowboys, 3.5-point favorites. I'm going to go on a little limb here. I'm going to say Danny Dimes and company come out with the upset and beat the Cowboys. There, I said it, and I'm sticking to it.
Why are you picking that way? Is Trey Lance going to play against the Cowboys?
And that's Giants could, you know, crack that ankle in half of Dak Prescott again.
Why are you putting that out in the universe, wow, man? You're talking about Brock Purdy dying, Dak Prescott breaking an ankle.
All right, I'll lighten up a little bit.
I'm just saying, man, make it a little levity sometimes.
Give me the Giants to upset at home. I think the Cowboys... I also don't like Mike McCarthy as a play caller, now that they lost Kellen Moore to the Chargers.
No, he's terrible. This is going to be a
Mike McCarthy,
idea.
He play called with the Packers, but Aaron Rodgers pretty much did all the play calling. Like, he's like, fuck this shit.
So Dak Prescott will do the play calling this year?
Yeah, and if that's the case, that's going to be even worse. I am taking the Giants. Yeah, because the Cowboys, their defense is solid, but... I just don't like their off. Like, they got weapons, they got Dak. Mike McCarthy calling the plays is going to be a setback for them.
Remember, early 2000s, Mike McCarthy was the offensive coordinator for the Niners, and they probably had Alex Smith at the time. And I was just like,
he sucks.
You know, he went to coach the Packers, coach the Cowboys. Give me the Cowboys in this game because the Cowboys have too many weapons not to lose this game. They have too many weapons. This game's in New York, whatever, still. I feel like the Cowboys will still win this. So did Chris.
All right. I'm going to say it, man. What is the next thing you hear after you hear the Cowboys won the Super Bowl?
We them boys?
No, honey, turn off the PlayStation. It's all done.
Oh.
The Cowboys, though, however, are better than the Giants this year. I think the Giants are going to be a flash in the pan, a one-hit wonder. Part of me feels the same way about the Lions this year as well. I think that they kind of peaked last year, but there's not a whole lot going on. Danny Dimes is not the guy. Saquon is.
They paid him less if he's the guy.
They only paid him. Yeah, $40 million man. I just don't see it, man. Especially opening night. I think the Cowboys are going to come out and run this game. Give me the Cowboys all day.
You can live your life. All right, final game of week one, Monday Night Football. This is going to be a good one. We got the Bills at the Jets. Aaron Rodgers and company. Josh Allen. Bunch of other people. Buffalo, 2.5-point favorites. I'm gonna take the Jets in this one. I think I hate picking the Packers and a Aaron Rodgers team in the same week. But I'm going to go ahead and say the Jets with the upset win at home. I like it.
I probably like vacillate between the two in this game. I'm thinking like Jets, the Bills, but I really feel like the Bills have something to prove this year, and the Jets will make it interesting. They'll be fun to watch, especially for my fantasy team. But yeah, give me the Bills with this close matchup. I feel like prime time and everything. This is going to be a barn burner. Is that what they call them? But yeah, give me the Bills to cover. Chris picked the Jets to win this outright, so.
Maybe him and I are now drinking the same thing.
Drinking the same Kool-Aid.
You got what he's having. No, man, give me the Bills all day long. Bills, we kind of briefly touched on it last week when we talked about, like, you know, windows closing, stuff like that, yada, yada. I don't think Stephon Diggs will be on the Bills next year. I think this is their chance to actually do something. I think James Cook is going to have a huge season.
I disagree.
I hope so.
I think he's going to have a big season.
I hope so.
But give me the Bills in this game to cover the 2.5 and spoil Aaron Rodgers' debut.
I mean, I'm okay with that. I mean, it's fine.
It's a win-win for you.
What is it with Diggs, like, being a drama queen at the end of his tenure with these teams? Like, he did it with Minnesota. He's doing it with Buffalo. I don't know. That's a discussion for another podcast.
He's a very sensitive person. He was a very sensitive person.
All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for our week one episode of Double Doinks and Tackles, your picks edition for week one. We'll be back in a week or two for week two.
For week two.
And we'll see what happens in week one.
Week one!
Happy football, everybody!
Happy football, everybody!
I'm Fernando.
I'm Travis.
And I'm Jimmy G, the Steelers boy.
Mm-hmm, there he is. And Chris is not here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But other than that, we'll see you next week. Happy football season, y'all.
Toodles.
Football. Bye.
Football.
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 Football.